Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What is up, Church by the Glades? I want you to stop at all of our campuses and give it up for our ninja warriors and our creative people. Come on, make some noise for the exceptional job they do making church fun and creative and compelling. And, you know, nobody's sleeping right now, are they? Nobody sleeps at CBG. Thanks for being here today. If you are a guest, my name is David. We launch a new series. I'm excited about this. It's kind of our beginning of 2018 series called Warrior. I want to change your whole perspective on life. I believe God has amazing, blessed things for you in store in 2018. And I want you to seize these things that God wants to give you like a warrior. This is going to be a great, I believe, transformative series. If you'll show up every single week, God will do great things in your life. Ton of fun. So this is week one. Great timing. You've nailed down week one. And then, of course, week two, I can't believe we have Dave Ramsey at Church by the Glades. This is such a coup. Quickly, we bring in lots of very talented speakers. This one, by far, the hardest person in the land. Dave has opportunities to speak literally all over the globe. He'll only do a couple of churches a year because he just goes to bigger venues. And so I actually was with Dave in Nashville. We had breakfast together, and I begged him. It was pathetic. I begged him and bribed him with Cuban cigars, and he's coming next week live at CBG. Hear this. He won't do every service live. He will do this service live. But guess what? Also, it really doesn't matter because we believe let theology drive our methodology. And for us, we use video at a lot of our campuses and our venues. And for me, what makes church church, listen, is not who holds the mic. We all have preferences. Some of you guys will see me around town and go, hey, PD, you speaking next week? Because I connect with you. You're my pastor. I get that. Thank you for that. But I don't make church church. Doesn't matter who the human communicator is. What makes church church is not who holds the mic. It's holding Jesus up. And that makes church, this gathering, something powerful and supernatural. But Dave will be here. He's not going to do all six because he's not crazy like me. I do six or seven every weekend. But he is here at this service next week. So bring a guest. By the way, it's not a talk on how to give. It's not a talk about generosity. It's these principles of money management. And he's inspiring. Dave Ramsey was bankrupt and broke once upon a time. And so if you deal with financial dysfunction, you need to be here. In fact, if you're thinking about not coming because of the subject matter, the series is called Warrior, not Weenie or Wimp. Be here. Come on. Let's attack this thing. Let's be unafraid. So it's coming up in a short time. It's going to be so much fun. But let's jump right now to the text. Go to Joshua chapter 3. We're in the book of Joshua to start the new year. If you're watching online or at home at one of our campuses, Joshua chapter 3. Let's say that together loudly. Ready? Joshua chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to find that. And I want to go back and pick up on one verse from last week. Joshua is a study of God's people in a season of turf taking and transition. This generation, the Joshua generation, is going to step in to the promised land. For over 400 years, the people of God, a marginalized people, slaves, and then wilderness wanderers, have dreamt about this fabled place called the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of God's blessing and God's best. And they're going to put their Nikes in the promised land. This Joshua generation transitions. So new place, new season, new leader. They've transitioned from Moses to the young guy, Joshua. And so in chapter 1, you stay in chapter 3, Joshua is called and commissioned by the living God. And it's so powerful what God says to Joshua. I want to kind of borrow this promise that God made to Joshua and appropriate it for ourselves. It says in verse 8, this book of the law, this Torah, this Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Get ready. For then you will make your way. Make your way prosperous and loudly, and then you will have success. Anybody up for a little more prosperity and success in the year to come? Anybody like to say, yeah, if God has more prosperity. Come on, put your hands together. Make some noise. Yeah, I want every blessing heaven has. And I believe we can appropriately borrow this promise that God wants us to prosper and know a degree of spiritual success. Now, again, I don't mean he's going to make you wealthy or the CEO of your corporation, but it means this. Prosperous, we broke it down last week in the Hebrew, means To break out. Now, are you stuck somewhere in life? Limited? Dysfunctional? Addicted? If that's the case, God's saying, would you like to break out? 2018 can be your year. You know, a degree of freedom you've never experienced. You can know my power, my promise. I want you where you are stuck. And we all have at least one place stuck to break out, to break out. All right, let's segue now from chapter 1 to chapter 3. You can read chapter 2. It's kind of a good James Bond spy story. But I'm going to go to chapter 3 because chapter 3 is the place where finally, after 400 plus years, the people of God are going to step into the long-awaited promised land. But there's a barrier. There's an issue. Between the people of God and the promise of God, there is the Jordan River. The Jordan River is a physical barrier. It's a wide river. It's a deep river. It's a fast-flowing river this time of year. And this is a barrier, and they don't have the engineering technology to build bridges, don't have time and resources to build ships, and they got 2 million people on the wrong side of the river. The promised land is there, and there's a barrier between the people of God and the promise of God. Listen, there's always going to be a barrier between you and your blessing. How you navigate that obstacle like a ninja in this new year will make all the difference. So we're in Joshua chapter 3. You're there. Joshua chapter 3, little verse by verse. Verse 1 I like. Early in the morning. Any morning people in the house? I can't wait to ask that at 1 o'clock and see if anyone cheers because I'll be lying. Here we go. Okay. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. It's what it says. It's just where they were. They're in this place called Shittim. So, and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing. Okay, let me just explain that for a moment. They're in this region called Shittim. Why are they there? Well, the prior generation had opportunity, the Moses generation, to go into the promised land, but they didn't do it. They kind of fumbled the moment, you know, and they missed their chance. They wandered in the wilderness kind of like for 40 years. Remember that story, right? And so now the people of God, because they're on the wrong side of the Jordan, they're outside of God's will. They're outside the promised land. They're outside of God's will at a place called Shittim. Anytime you're outside the will of God, you're in a place called Shittim. Some of you right now, because you have not obeyed the word of God, you find yourself in deep Shittim. I'm just saying. Don't look at me like that. I'm just being biblical with you. Turn to your neighbor right now. I just got to preach at white boy. That's pretty good. Turn to your neighbor right now. This is your year to get yourself out of deep Shittim. Go ahead. You say it to him. Go ahead. Go, kid. Say it to your parent. You're just quoting verse 1. Having too much fun with that. Verse 2. Let's run to verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that's the Indiana Jones movie 1, that Ark, that thing, all right. And the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow. You got to follow God, follow the priest. Why? Verse 4, that's your GPS. How did we ever find our way anywhere before GPS? How in the world? And then you'll know the way to go since you have never been this way before. Some of you who are living in dysfunction, your life is limited. You don't even know what freedom feels like. It's a strange, you can't even imagine, but God's going to set you free. He's going to be your GPS. He's going to show you how to get there. You've not been this way before. It continues. Keep a little perspective. So let's keep 2,000 cubits between the ark and yourself. Don't go near it. And then verse 5. Verse 5 is on the screen right now. Verse 5 says this. Joshua told the people, consecrate. Let's try it again. Joshua told the people, consecrate. It means to prepare yourself. Get yourself ready for something amazing, something great, something new, something free. And it continues. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. God wants to do something supernatural and superlative in your life, so get yourself ready. Now, you read the rest of chapter 3, watch how God provides a supernatural passage, because the Jordan River is an impassable impossibility, but God makes a way when there is no way. You read that the Ark of the Covenant is carried by the priests of God. They have to step into the Jordan River. This is somewhat like the miracle of Moses back in Exodus. Remember the Red Sea issue? There was a watery barrier there as well. And you all know how that miracle went down with Moses because we all saw the Moses movies. He kind of holds up a big stick and the water subdivides. And the Bible gives the great detail. The people of God walked across the Red Sea, everyone on dry ground. But the priests actually step into the water. And then God causes the river to stop 20 miles to the north. And they cross right across from Jericho. Obstacle number 2 in the course they got to run. And imagine the people behind the walls of Jericho thinking they're safe because they got the walls and the river. And the river stops. And 2 million Israelis cross right in front of their gates. God doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. Now I'm telling you, God has a promise for you. He has a life and a land, if you will, something so big, so blessed. So how do you step in to God's personal promised land? Let me give you a couple things today, and then Dave Ramsey next week as you come back next week, and then I'll come back week number three and walk you through Joshua chapter 6. But here how they crossed the Jordan, a couple things are vital. If you want to know God's spiritual success, the power of divine prosperity to break out, a couple things. Number one, attitude. Attitude. I'm just going to be candid here. Not everybody, but some of y'all, your attitude is your biggest issue. Your attitude is chronically critical. It is negative. You're kind of a downer person. Your attitude sucks. And I thought about calling this series Your Attitude Sucks, but you wouldn't show up, so I called it Warrior instead. So the first thing we got to fix is your attitude. We need an adjustment on your attitude. In fact, I want there to be this shift. I want you to shift from whining to warring. I want you to see this transition in your attitude from the attitude of a whiner to the spirit of a warrior. Now listen, church only works if you're honest and candid with yourself. So don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. But are you a negative person? Would the people in your life go, oh, yeah, she is so negative. He is so constantly critical. That is you. I'm not trying to jam you, but I'm telling you, it's a bigger issue than you realize. You are self-sabotaging your success. You're missing out on God's best because you track towards negativity. You're kind of a downer. You have this critical spirit, and you say, look, it's not a big thing. It's the way I'm wired. I'm negative by nature. I have a critical eye, you say. Use language like this. I just call them the way I see them. I'm just keeping it real. Okay, you know why the preceding generation, the Moses generation, did not get a touch and taste the promised land? Why? Well, Bible scholar might say, well, I guess sin, rebellion, distrust, all factors. But if you go to Numbers chapter 14, this describes the prior generation. They're on the borders taking the promised land. They're about to step in, but they don't get to. God says, no, I can't bless you with this. You're not worthy of it. What the sin was that disqualified them on the screen right now, Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord. Guess what? He says, guess what? You ain't going. You're grumbling. You're complaining. By the way, you think it's a small thing. This shows up, the word grumbling or complaining, 28 times in Numbers and Exodus. The people chronically whined and complained where God thought, I can't take whiners into the promised land. Your attitude is the issue I can't deal with. It is setting a negative direction for your life. I mean, some of y'all, you were born crying, grew up whining, lived complaining, and going to die disappointed. But God brought you to church to show you this attitude you think is a dismissive thing, a small thing, is a thing you must change. You can't break out until God changes that attitude in your life. I want that to happen today, so I want to change. We're no longer whiners, we are warriors. We're no longer going to be whiners, going to be warriors. Make it as clear as I know how. I use the Bible and a t-shirt. We have lots of t-shirts at Church by the Glades. So here's our newest t-shirt at CBG. I'll put it on the screen right now. There it is. I'm not a weenie. I'm not a wimp. I'm not a whiner. I'm not a worrier. Shucks, I want to work and I want to win. But guess what? In life, sometimes you don't win. I mean, you can have all kinds of faith, all kinds of talent, but every once in a while you take one on the chin. If you got to win to keep going, at some point you'll get knocked down. You'll just quit. But warriors don't quit. In the book of Joshua, you're going to see they lose a battle in chapter 7. They make a bad decision a little later on in chapter 9. But you'll find Joshua doesn't quit. Why? Joshua's not worried about winning. He is a warrior. He is unstoppable. He is a force. He is optimistic. He is positive. He is faith-filled. So cut it out with the attitude. Stop self-excusing. Stop saying, look, I'm just a glass half-full kind of person. You're a Christian. You're a Christian person. You are saved and redeemed and heaven-bound and forgiven. Guess what? For a Christian, it's not the glass is half full or half empty. It's a glass. It's refillable. And we overflow with the goodness of God. I want to cultivate and choose a breakout attitude in 2018. So listen, if you're that negative person, you probably need to get with your family and go, look, I'm sorry. That was on me today. God brought me to church to apologize to you guys. I want to work on that in my life. I want to be more positive. I want to believe in you and celebrate you and encourage you. So as a church family, we'll have 10,000 people in church. We're going to begin a movement in America because America whines all the time, complains all the time, blames all the time, self-excuses all the time. No, we're going to stop global whining at Church by the Glades being today, all right? First step, before you take any turf, you got to fix your attitude. Second step, this is very important too. So the people of God, they want to cross over, right? I mean, they want to make this progress. They're going to have a new attitude, not going to whine. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be a warrior. Oh, I got more about that all the time, man. Dumb clock. But second step is this. You want to get turf progress in your life, you got to make the right decision at the right time. Got to habitually make the right decision at the right time. I got to make the right decisions at the right time. Now, if you're paying attention, I didn't help you at all there, did I? I just described an end outcome. We're all thinking, well, great, I'd love to make the right decision at the right time. How do I do that exactly? How do I know? Look, I get it. In fact, if I can share a little personal testimony on this, I've been at this church now the better part of 2 decades. The church I came to back in the late 90s was very different than Church by the Glades today. We were small, and in the years before I got here, this church had all like kind of that bad church stuff. If you grew up going to church and didn't like church, your church had that, like church politics and all these mean-spirited people, and not sin really, just lots of complaining and grumbling. And like some people split off and started other little churches that didn't like, it was terrible, terrible. So I stepped into this. Obviously they were desperate. They hired me and I was young. And I'm like, okay, man, I'm dealing with this thing. And statistically speaking, most churches that go through that kind of journey never bounce back. When a church, we'd lost like half our membership, you know, and half the people and all this division and splits and stuff. And when churches go through that, almost never do they survive or grow. Like when we went to the Lake Worth campus, it was kind of that scenario. The church was down like 60 people. And so we were tracking that way, and I thought, God, unless you leverage some leadership in me, we're not going to see this thing resurrect. And so I studied to become a better leader. Now, I'm not a natural reader. Some of you guys love to read. My wife loves to read. I have to work at it. But I began reading everything I could find on leadership. So I'm at Barnes & Noble's bookstore. Y'all remember bookstores? All right, Barnes & Noble's bookstore. And they're in like the business leadership section. They had a book, and it wasn't spine out. It was cover out. And this author entitled the book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I thought, man, if these are irrefutable laws, I need these laws because I want to be a better leader. So I bought the book, and I started reading the book, and actually it was really good. And I'm not a reader. The chapters were concise. I don't pay attention very well, so it helped me out. And I'm going through the 21 laws. He had one law he called the law of timing. And he observed that successful people and effective leaders have an intuitive way of recognizing windows of opportunity. Timing's critical. You don't want to be too early, don't be too late, timing. And so I enjoyed the book so much, I tried to get around this guy. He would speak in conference settings. I'd go hear him. I probably heard him a half dozen times speaking to crowds and found out he was a pastor and stuff. His principles are biblical principles. And so this one time he's speaking, and I'm soaking all in me. I'm taking notes. And this speaker, writer, he's actually a better speaker than even a writer. He said this, had a great voice, said, leaders make the right decisions at the right time. You make the right decision at the right time and you will be a great leader. And I'm listening to that, I'm like, yeah, I'm a great leader. Woo, yeah, I gotta make the right decision at the right time. Okay, here's the problem. How do I know the right decision? And how can I recognize the right time? He was describing an end outcome, not a strategy. It's like saying, if you wanna be wealthy, get a whole bunch of money. You get a whole bunch of money and you will be a wealthy person. Yeah, great. Okay, where do I find this money stuff, right? It's like that kind of scenario. And I thought that was not even helpful. I mean, how in the world? I mean, the right decision is tough enough, but how do I recognize the right timing? That's so hard to discern the right time. I've spent the better part of the last 20 years trying to figure out the answer to that question. And I think I found some handles to help us recognize God's timing. Because God's timing is not just good timing. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfection. If you will align yourself with God's divine watch, you will step into the moment right at the perfect time. So I found these 4 things that will help us discern God's timing. I know some of y'all never take a note, but this one time, humor me and take a note. Just grab your phone and write down these 4 ways you can recognize the right time. This is very important in life. This will help you do business better, relationships better. 4 ways. All campuses, go ahead and just write this down if you would, on paper, on your phone. 4 ways you can recognize God's perfect time. Because the Israelites, the time of the crossing, The time they make this move in the promise line is vital. They want to align with God's timing. So here's four criteria. Write them down. Number one, do you have a scripture? Is there a verse in God's word that speaks directly to the issue? See, the Bible is full of all kinds of information. There's narrative, there's story, there's examples, very helpful. There's principles, there's precepts. Again, very helpful, but I mean this. Do you have a command? Is there a thou shalt or thou shalt not in the word of God? Is there a biblical imperative that speaks to this issue in your life? If there is, ASAP, right away, align your life with what the Bible says. We discovered in James chapter 1, the blessing of God is not in the hearing of the word, it's in the daring to do the word of God. So I want to run as quickly as possible. If it speaks to this relationship in my life, or a discipline, or a priority, or my finances, if my life is not aligned, not looking like the word of God, as quickly as possible, the time is now, I want to align with the word of God. Because God is always correct. God never misspeaks, he never lies. So stay with me. So the right time to do the right thing is right now. So criteria number one, do I have a scripture? And that one's the slam dunk. That's the best of the four by far. That's the one that's guaranteed to be correct every single time. Now the next three deal with an issue in life that you don't have a Bible verse. There's lots of things we navigate in the new year that we don't have a Bible verse for, right? Is there an investment you need to make? Should you buy or sell a home? Should you quit your job and take that job offer in Nebraska? Should you know all these things in life? You're a single person. Don't you wish there was a verse in the Bible that said, thou shalt date Thelma. Thou shalt marry Bob. Thou shalt dump Frank. He's a jerk, right? Don't you wish you had a verse like that? But in all these great issues in life, you don't have a verse, so you might have some principles. Some principles describing, you know, a godly guy, godly girl, or a wise move in life. But these things you need to kind of be discerning. And sometimes God works through counsel and through circumstances. So let me talk through the circumstances. So I'm trying to read God's timing. Sometimes in life, God closes a door. People of faith phrase it that way. God closes a door. God kind of closes the opportunity. It's not going to work out. God kind of shuts something down. He closes a door in life that happens sometimes, that happens to us. Just closes down the opportunity, shuts the door. It's not going to work. And we get a stop sign. I'll say it that way. We get a stop sign. Like, got to throw the brakes on because the opportunity is no more. Now, if you're like me and God closes the door, God gives me a stop sign. If he gives me a stop sign, guys, you put it on the screen, There you go. God gives me a stop sign. I'm frustrated because I like to move forward. I like to make progress. So I pray about an issue and whatever. God closes the door. God gives me the stop sign. For many years, I go, oh, man, God, I can't believe this. It seemed like such a right thing. I can't believe you. You closed the door. You gave me a stop sign. But listen, I've learned that stop signs are provided by God for my direction or my protection. Same way as a driver, I try not to speed too much, but I like to get places right away. I don't enjoy stop signs. I do not. Anybody here enjoy? Oh, I love a good stop sign. I like to stop and ponder and take it. No, we all hate them, right? So why do they put stop signs in the streets? Well, the city planners do that. Why? Direction and protection. I've learned that in life. Sometimes when God closes that door, there's something better he has in store for me. So let me show you a really interesting verse in the book of Acts. This is kind of unfolding narrative in the book of Acts. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. This is about the Apostle Paul and his preaching team. They're preaching the gospel, planting churches. It's on the screen right now, and here's what it says. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit of God to preach in Asia. You're like, what's up with that? Does God not like Asian people or something? Well, let me explain what it is. It's actually Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. And Paul wanted to go there and prayed about going there, but God gave him a stop sign. Why? He'd actually been there a couple times before. He preached the gospel there already, established some churches, wanted to come back and revisit those churches. And God gives him the stop sign. And no doubt, because Paul was aggressive and a leader and forward moving, he probably is frustrated. But then like 24 hours later, he opens a better door to take the gospel to Greece. And the gospel now spreads throughout Europe. And if you're here right now of European descent, your ancestors first heard the name of Jesus only because Paul got a stop sign about going back to Turkey. So God closes one door, opens a bigger and better one. So listen, don't be frustrated when God says no. When you pray for a job opportunity and someone else gets it, you know, when you pray for a financial opportunity and it doesn't happen, understand that maybe God protecting you, maybe God directing you. And look, if you've been a Christian any amount of time and you pray about the big decisions of life, you've seen this happen in your life. You prayed about something, God, I really want this thing to happen, or you're single, God, I'd really like to be with this person. I'd like to date him or her, right? And then God says no. And it's 6 months down the road and you're like, oh, God, thank you so much for saying no. That would have been terrible. That would have been like a dumpster fire, right? Or you're at your 20-year reunion like, oh, God, I prayed about him in high school. Boy, the years have not been kind to that brother. Thank you, God, for saying no. Wow, right? So, God gives you the stop sign because he loves you and he wants to protect you. All right, so we got, you clap for that. That's God. That's God's goodness right there. So we got the scripture number one. And then we get the closed door, the stop sign, number two. And then number three, sometimes God gives you the green light. God gives you the go-ahead. God gives you, he opens the door, right? The circumstances. Now, it doesn't mean the absence of obstacles. They still had the Jordan River and the walls of Jericho and stuff, but a green light, a green light. Green light's an exciting thing in life. Now, to make sure we're all on the same page, I want you to complete this sentence. A green light means that is good, that is correct. But that is an impartial answer. I want to clarify this because a lot of you like me, you drive on the streets of South Florida. And I want to take a moment just to explain this, that a green light does not merely mean go. A green light means go now. Go now, not go. Because a lot of people in South Florida, the light turns green, they don't go. Amen? And in case you're one of those people, a green light means go now. Go now. I just want to clarify that because maybe I'm behind you in my car. We're like in the left-hand turn lane. It's a red light. And we're like five and six cars deep. And the light transitions from red to green. And the people in front of you, they go. But you're on your phone checking your feed. You're checking your feed. Or you're in your rearview mirror checking your teeth, right? Checking your teeth. And here the lights change. You're just sitting there. The green light is up there. And you're just sitting. I'm behind you. And because you're not moving, I am faced with a moral dilemma. Do I lay on the horn and just blast you? Wah! Like I want to. But the dilemma is this. I get a Church by the Glades decal on my back window. So I just give you a little like a beep, 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 beep. And you whoa. And you get you in. And you make it through the light just as the light is transitioning from green to yellow to red. And you make it through, and I have to sit there and wait for a whole nother light cycle. Why? Because you didn't recognize that a green light means go. No extra charge for that. Let's roll back around now. Something out there. You got a verse four, right? And you got a verse four, and then God kind of opens the door of opportunity. Doesn't mean there's not issues and obstacles, but it means go now. You got a word from Scripture? Because in our flesh, we're like, oh, yeah, I need to really do that thing. That thing, you know, Pastor David talked about, yeah, I need to do that. It's not a good time right now. Oh, I got plans right now. I got a few things to iron out right now, like salvation. Oh, David, I know you'll have those nice prayer partners at the edge of the stage, but I'm not ready for salvation yet. And the Bible says now is the time, and today is the day of your salvation. The Bible's saying you're more ready than you realize now. But it's funny, man. See, if the devil can't make us say no, he'll just say later. Say, God, yes, but not right now. I'm not ready now. How about that one? How about if you're in financial dysfunction? How about if you're struggling financially? By the way, I'm not judging. That's so many of our people. We overspend. We don't have a budget. We got debt. I love that testimony, Sam and Jade just being candid about the struggle they had. Wow, that was really powerful. Sam and Jade, I think they said they were $460,000 in debt in their 20s. I had asked some follow-up questions. You guys like have a crack habit or, gambling issue? What was going on there? It was almost all student debt. Just tons of all the college and grad school was in that. So I was rolling over and burying them. And so they took financial peace and began working the plan. And here they are debt-free. Debt-free. And that's what God wants to do. He loves to free people up. And there's somebody out here, we offer financial peace this time of year. It costs $100. Why do we charge you $100? We don't make any money. They charge us $100 for the materials. We even provide childcare and stuff. And you're thinking, yeah, I need, that's it. I need to do that. Just not now. Green light. Green light means what? Go? Now. Means go now. It means when church is done, not I'm going to go pray about it. No, you're not. You're going to go home and hope to forget about it, get distracted. You need to go ahead and just say, God, okay, I'm going to do it, and go to the lobby at this campus. There'll probably be a line. Wait in the line. Give them $100. Oh, I'm already in debt. $100 more is not going to hurt you. Go ahead, get in debt. And let's begin to find the freedom. Get the pathway. Go now. Baptism. I need to do the baptism thing. I know it's the first thing. No, now. Now, when God gives you the window, the green light, it means go now. The blessing is in it. I tell my kids, I got my kids on the front row, that slow obey is no obey. Promising to obey me later on is nothing right now. God wants you to do it now. Green light means go. That was terrible. Green light means go. Everyone, green light means go. Turn to your neighbor and say, what do we need to do now? Turn to your neighbor, what do we need to do now? What's that thing we need to do right now? Because I want the best. I want God's promise. I want God's blessing. All right? So I got three of them. You with me? Number one, if you have a scripture, that one's the slam dunk. That is the five star. That's the way you know, man, I got to do this thing. I need to do it as quickly as I can. Then number two, if I don't have a verse, if God gives me a stop sign, I won't resent that. I'll recognize as God blessing me with protection and direction. Number three, if God gives me a green light means go now. And then here's the fourth and final one. Write this down. If it feels like the right time, if it feels like emotionally the right time, if intuitively this thing feels kind of good to do right now, write it down there on your phone, write it down, ready. If it feels like the right time. Now, do you got it there on your phone or did you write it down? If you have it on your phone, delete it. If you wrote it down, just scratch a line through it. Because I found this, when it comes to the call of God, it's almost always the opposite of what I feel. See, my feelings are based on what? Insecurity and fear and selfishness. And God's call is based on promise and potential and blessing other people. And so there's this kind of war, this warrior battle I fight between my fear and the call of God. And I guarantee you the people of the Joshua generation face this in this moment, the timing of chapter 3. So I love biblical detail. As you read, you're going to find out this. So the people, they follow the priest, and the priest, probably four guys, are carrying the ark, and the ark probably weighed hundreds of pounds. It's that Indiana Jones box. It's a wooden box covered in gold. So it weighed 500 pounds, 800 pounds. And so these priests are carrying this thing, and then Joshua says, okay, you're going to march out into the Jordan. And we get a really interesting biblical detail. I love the details of the Bible. In verse 15 of chapter 3 on the screen right now, it says, not only do they have to touch the water and walk into the water, it gives us this detail about the timing of this crossing. It says, now the Jordan is at flood stage. So the river, as they're crossing, is at flood stage. So the Jordan kind of swells about twice its normal size at flood stage. And I don't know much about crossing a river, but I know this. What is the worst time to cross a river? Flood stage. And God's had 40 years to do this thing. And he picks flood stage. And if you're one of the four priests, you know, carrying the heavy ark of the covenant, and you're called, this is not like the Moses miracle, wave the stick, and the water subsides, and it's all dry. The priests have to march out into the fast-flowing Jordan. Every step, it gets deeper and deeper as they have this heavy thing on their back. I guarantee you they did not feel like obeying the command of God. Why? The priest didn't know how to swim. Where's that in chapter 3? Well, it's in the subtext. It is? Well, yeah. Remember, this is the new generation. This is the Joshua generation. Now, their fathers grew up in Egypt. Egypt had the Nile River, a few crocodiles, but you can learn how to swim. This generation grew up in the desert. No swimming pools in the desert. No bodies of water in the, nobody in this generation had a clue how to swim. So if you're one of these priests and you're carrying the 800-pound ark on your back, marching out into the water, everything in your flesh, everything in your anxiety and fear is going, oh, you don't want to do this. This feels like a really bad idea. But their faith won the war against their fear, and they marched out into the water at just the right time. God caused the waters to subside, and they crossed on dry land because four priests were faithful, and they fought through the anxiety and insecurity and the emotions and did what God called them to do at the time God called them to do it, because warriors are not whiners and we're not waiters. We move when God says move. And there's someone here that God has given you a specific decision to make. Let's make the right decision at the right time. If this is led by God, God is always perfect and God is always correct. And the right time to do the right thing is right now. And I know it doesn't feel like the right time, but if it's God's time, it is go time. Step into your Jordan and receive the promise that God wants to give you. God wants to unleash something so mighty, so supernatural, so liberating in your life. But you got to take and receive what God has promised. So let's make a move. Let's not just play church. Let's make a move. Let's go to the lobby and sign up for financial peace. Let's talk to our prayer partner and give your heart to Christ. be baptized. If you're a whiner, in Jesus' name, let's crucify that negativity and have a new attitude, because you're a victor and an overcomer in Jesus' name. God's called you to be the head and not the tail. God's prepared for you a land of potential, a blessing, a promised land with your name on it. Don't settle for anything less. We are not the people who wander in the wilderness. We are the Joshua generation, and we're going to receive every good thing that our God has called us to receive. We're going to navigate 2018 like a bunch of ninjas, unafraid, and receiving the best that God wants to give us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good things you have in store for us. I love you. I rejoice in the blessing that our great and generous God wants to bestow. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that's written in it. And then you will make prosperous, and then you will know good success, and you will break out and break free, and you will put your toes on the promised land. We claim this promise in Jesus' name, as the church says together, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.